Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is brought to you by Good News Christian Ministries. You can find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can hear past episodes and find interesting articles. This morning, I want to talk to you about anxiety and trust. I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture found in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30. Isaiah was a prophet. And here's the background to the scripture that was written about 2,700 years ago. Isaiah is in danger. Israel seems to be going through cycles. See, when Israel is faithful to the Lord, God kept them safe. Then they would turn from the true God and they would allow idols and altars to infest their land. And then God would warn them and God would send prophets to let them know that this is not what's right and is not going to work. But usually they would not listen. They would continue their ways of worshiping false gods. They would promote injustice. And then an enemy would overtake them. And after a while, they would repent and God would deliver them from that enemy. And they'd be on God's track for a while. Well, they're in one of those phases where they have turned away from God. The enemy is at the border. God is calling them through his prophets to repent and turn back to him. But they say, well, we have a better idea. Let's make an alliance with Egypt. See, Egypt has chariots and horses, and if we make an alliance with them and pay tribute to them, then we will be safe. That is the shorthand of the background of the passage we're going to read. With that, let me read the scripture to you. I'm going to read the first part of this passage in a translation called The Message. It takes a lot of interpretation license, but tells the story better. Then I'm going to read the second part of the passage from the New Living Translation, because it's a more accurate translation, which will be more important for our purposes later. From Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. So go now and write all this down. Put it in a book, so that the record will be there to instruct the coming generations, because this is a rebel generation, a people who lie, a people unwilling to listen to anything God tells them. They tell their spiritual leaders, don't bother us with irrelevancies. They tell their preachers, don't waste our time on impracticalities. Tell us what makes us feel better. Don't bore us with obsolete religion. That stuff means nothing to us. Quit hounding us with the Holy of Israel. Therefore, the Holy of Israel says this, because you scorn this message, preferring to live by injustice and shape your life on lies, this perverse way of life will be like a towering, badly built wall that slowly, slowly tilts and shifts, and then one day, without warning, collapses, smashed to bits like pieces of pottery, smashed beyond recognition or repair. Unless a useless pile of debris to be swept up and thrown into the trash. Going on with the New Living Translation, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, the Holy One of Israel. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we'll get our help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. But the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. Five of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God, Blessed are those who wait for his help. Now, I need to tell you that I, like you, have not put my trust in chariots lately. But nevertheless, I do find myself in the same boat as the people in Jerusalem from time to time. Imagine you lived in Jerusalem at the time of Isaiah. The walls are high and thick, but within the walls, the fear is palpable. The enemy is rumbling. The enemy is stirring. And now the walls that have not been breached in recent memory seem, well, maybe not all that large. There's an army coming that is bigger than and badder than anything we've ever seen in our lifetime. The walls that have served us well in our lifetime, well, we're not sure if they can hold. We're not sure that we can survive. And worse than that, everything we're hearing from God lately seems negative. Well, we're not sure if it's God or not. To tell you the truth, the people who we are hearing it from, well, they're just really annoying. And after all, if I followed what they said, it would cost me money, but I could deal with that. But they want me to get rid of my little silver idols and that are in a couple corners of my house. And I like my idols. I need my idols, especially when I'm feeling stressed out. They bring me comfort. But, well, I got to say that they are bringing me a lot less comfort than they used to. The anxiety, the fear, the uncertainty, they are overwhelming me. But I know what I need to do. What I need is a strategy. See, the enemy is coming, and if I could just deal with the enemy, then I'd be okay. Everything would be fine. I know what I need to do. I'm worried about the fact that I'm not strong enough to deal with the enemy. So what we need is more strength. And, well, maybe I can buy more strength. You see, the Egyptian army, well, they're pretty impressive. They have horses and chariots and everything. And if I were to make an alliance with them, well, they would help me with the enemy. Now, I know that back in our history that they enslaved us, but I won't let that happen. And I know that they will demand tribute for our protection. And I know that there's nothing saying that the protection money won't go up and up every year. And if we stop paying it, they might attack us. But at least it deals with the immediate problem. I know it's not perfect, but it's the best strategy I can think of. Here's what God says in Isaiah 31:1. What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help, trusting their horses, chariots, and charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. But at least our friend in Jerusalem would feel like they were doing something. We all have to trust something. God says to the people of Jerusalem, trusting in horses and chariots and armies create sorrow. This time we're going to listen to a song by Robin Marks. The song is entitled Some Trust in Chariots.
Name and glory, Lord, is
is all I see. Oh, praise our God and magnify His name, for He is good and worthy of all in chariots or men of war, but I will put my trust in You, O Lord. Your all-sufficient grace is all I need. Your name is all I see. Your name and glory, Lord, is all I
Can you imagine the kind of anxiety the people in Jerusalem would be feeling as they lived inside the walls? There are rumors of an army that's coming. Food is in short supply. Life is harder because everyone around you seems anxious. It's hard being under stress, but it's even harder when the people around you are stressed out. Crazy thing is that a lot of you will not have to go very far in your imagination to get to that kind of anxiety. Oh, you don't have an army bearing down on you, but you're under a lot of stress at work. Kind of feels like an army's against you. For others of you, you know what it's like to feel the anxiety that comes from marital discord. For others of you, you live in constant fear because something that has happened earlier in life. I could go on, but most of us live with a fair amount of anxiety. Here's what you need to know. Anxiety can be your friend because in anxiety, God can use your feelings as a signpost. It can show you what your soul hungers for. Anxiety can show you what your soul finds security in. It can show you what your soul is thirsty for. Anxiety is the megaphone of the soul, and it lets you know what your soul is saying. You know, some of the most peaceful and joyful people I've met have been brothers and sisters in Christ and from very poor countries. I know this one particular pastor from Egypt, and he knows what it means to have his life threatened. He knows what it means to go without. He knows what it means to be imprisoned and be in danger of being attacked. And yet, there's peace and joy in this man's life that is incredible to witness. I know another man from Sierra Leone. He came through the war where the rebels had cut off people's limbs. He lives in one of the poorest countries in the world, yet you meet this guy and there's just a genuine smile on his face and there's a real peace and joy in his life. I've also sat with millionaires who are stressed out. I've sat with people who have everything and their anxiety is through the roof. I've had periods in my life where my anxiety has been through the roof. And when I look at my friend from Egypt, whose life has been in danger, that danger has caused him to turn towards the Lord. and he has found the Lord to be sufficient. When I look at the lives of those who are living in high anxiety, I often see us turning towards the equivalent of Egyptian horses. If we are worried about finances and we need to figure out a strategy to make more money and save more money, we're worried about job security, we need to figure out a way to minimize the risk. Here's what God says, Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. God says, you have a choice. If you return to me, you will be saved. If you trust in me and put your confidence in me, you will have the strength to do what you need to do to live well in the face of the enemy. But he says to Israel, and to many of us, you would have none of it. You said, no, we will get our help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. But the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. One of them will chase you, 1,000 of you. Five of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hilltop or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. And the same thing happens to us. When we refuse to trust God with our issues, we implement our strategies, we trust our own abilities, and the cycle of anxiety continues on in our lives. The sleepless nights, the worried-filled days. And then we make decisions based on fear, which are often bad decisions. Often in our fear, we wall ourselves in. And when we do that, we wall others out. We hunker down and we hope the storm flies by. And all the while, our soul shrivels, our hearts grow cold. What a description. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. Where's God in all this? Isaiah 30, 18. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him, so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord is longing to show you his compassion and love. He is waiting for you to turn to him and to put your full weight of your life on him. He is waiting for you to trust him. Verse 19 says, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. God is waiting on you to trust him. So the question is, are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to trust him with your reputation? Will you trust him with your finances? Will you trust him with your career? Will you trust him with your future? Will you trust him with your life? Will you trust him with your death? Will you trust him with your eternity? Will you trust him with your family? Will you trust him with your kids? Will you trust him with all of who you are? Now, if you've been around the church for a while, then, and you've given your life to Jesus, then you'll know that the right answer is, yes, I'll trust him. But sometimes knowing the right answer, even telling God the right answer, doesn't do it for us. So what do you do when the anxiety and fear that is in your heart is starting to overwhelm you? Well, I would encourage you to think of it as God's built-in way of allowing your soul to talk to you. See, anxiety is the soul's megaphone. This is sometimes where Christian counselors or spiritual directors or spiritual friends or people with pastoral gifts or sometimes taking up the discipline of journaling will help. But sometimes it's really hard to hear what our own soul is saying because it's shouting so loud. See, our fear speaks so loud that we can't seem to hear what our soul is hungry for and what our soul is trusting in. See, some people find that their soul shouts and they need to calm down. You see, it's in quietness and confidence and rest is your salvation. For then you start to hear the voice of the Lord. In the middle of your anxiety and fears, God wants to teach you about himself, and he wants to teach you about yourself. See, God will give you over to your anxieties until you come to him with your anxieties. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. And then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious golden images. You'll throw them away like filthy rags and saying, good riddance. As you start to listen to what your own soul is saying, God is going to teach you. Your soul hungering for this, but if it hungered for me, you would be in a better place. Your soul is trusting in this, and this is where you're finding your security. But if you would find your security in me, you'd be in a better place. You're going to start to hear what God is saying to you, and then he's going to start directing you. He's going to start talking about where you find your significance. And your soul is going to be shouting out, I'm finding my significance here. I find my significance in my reputation, in my career, in my job. And the Lord's going to come along and say, let your soul find your significance in me. Trust in me. And what's going to happen is you're going to see God offering you something better than the idols that your soul has erected. For often we erect idols in the way of security and significance and belonging. And all those things have a way of causing us to fear, and our soul shouts out and saying, this is where our soul is. And God says, come to me. I'm faithful. I'll take care of it. Lean on me. And when you start to do that and God starts to speak and he's going to say, go this way and go that way, you're going to start to throw out those idols. You will destroy your silver idols and those precious gold idols, and you're going to throw them out like filthy rags and say, good riddance. God's going to take the idols away. And as you see what God is offering you, you're going to say, what he offers is better. Verse 23, then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. Then there will be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. Passage goes on to say what the blessing of God would look like in the life of Israel. I don't know what the blessing of God will look like in your life, but it will be good. He'll take care of the enemies of your soul. He will do what is good and right both now and for eternity. But it all starts out by answering the question, what is my soul saying to me? And when you answer that question, are you willing to turn to God with that? Are you willing to trust God for that? Are you willing to deal with the idols of your soul? Here's what you need to know. The answer to those questions will dictate your journey into the future. God has a plan for you, and it's a good plan and a wonderful plan. But he's standing there waiting for you to come to him. God is just waiting for you to hear and listen and turn to him. He's faithful when you turn. You can trust in him. Let's pray. Lord, for many who see what their soul is saying and the anxiety is overwhelming, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal their soul to them. What's their soul saying to them? And Lord, that you would show them how faithful you are. Lord, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, thank you for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make your checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My prayer for you is that you would know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out this morning by listening to Michael W. Smith singing Healing Rain.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong. It's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down. It's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame. Wash forever in Jesus' name.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.